All right, it's a Monday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to follow Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts for episodes every day, Monday through Friday. Coming up, I break down why this is the most important offseason of Bob Myers' tenure. But first, the NBA playoffs are almost here. Don't miss the big storylines and team previews you can find every day on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Talking to you for the first time since the Warriors were eliminated from the playoffs on Friday night. And now that we've had time to pause and reflect and think about the season a little bit, I want to turn to the biggest questions of their offseason. And I'll get to James Wiseman, Kelly Oubre, who will be part of the core going forward, and the draft. But the first thing I want to get to is talking about Steph, because he's up for an extension this offseason. And based on the season he just put together, and that everything revolves around him, this is probably the best place to start. Now, Steph is 33 years old. He's eligible to sign a four-year, $215.4 million extension this summer, and that would keep him under contract with the Warriors until he's 38 years old. So that deal would pay him $48 million when it kicks in 2022, almost $52 million in 2023, $55.7 million in 2024, and then $59.6 million in the 2025-26 season. So it would keep him until with the Warriors until he's 38 through 2026. Now, the Warriors should plan to sign Steph to that extension. There's no doubt about it. And look, I don't think that there's any particular worry that that's not going to happen or any concerns, because Steph has said all along that he wants to be with the Warriors. The Warriors remain committed to Steph. Look, paying a guy who's going to be 37 years old, 38 years old in the final year of that deal, $60 million may seem a little ludicrous, but you have to do it. Even if at 37 you're paying $60 million for Steph, you have to do it now. Based on what he just did, what the season he just put together, the fact that he was an MVP finalist in that year, this guy is ready to lead you to a championship right now if you put the right supporting cast around him. And that's why I wanted to start this podcast with Steph, because you agree to sign to that extension before the year, and then you include him in everything you do this offseason. You need to get his buy-in in every single offseason move that you do if you're Bob Myers in this front office, because you owe it to him. You owe it to him. Now, I know that's what the money is for, but if you want to win a championship, you owe it to him. You owe it to him not to go out and do another James Wiseman experiment, to after 2 years of rebuilding the bench, it's done. You got guys. We'll get to Juan Toscano-Anderson and Jordan Poole a little bit later on. But you found guys, right? You got younger, okay? Steph is at his peak. Draymond Green is almost as good as he ever was defensively. Klay Thompson is coming back next year. Now, that's why I don't think that there's any worry about Steph not signing the extension, even after the Warriors missed the playoffs 2 years in a row. I'm not that concerned, because Klay is coming back. Steph remains loyal to Klay. He wants to play with Klay. He remains loyal to Draymond. He wants to play with Draymond. He remains loyal to Steve Kerr and this organization. This is where he wants to be. If he can win there, he'll try. And I think based on the last 20 games of the year where they went 15-5, I know they missed the playoffs, but I do think that Steph thinks that they can win. But they have to follow the right blueprint. They have to follow the right blueprint. And that blueprint was laid out in those final 20 games. Small ball works with this team. Do you need to add some size to other places on the roster? Yes. You need to add some talent? Absolutely. Can you go an entire year playing eight guys? No, you can't. You need to add some more guys. You need to add some more guys. But that's the blueprint. We know what the starting lineup should be next year. We know. Steph, Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney. We know that. We know who's going to be part of the core going forward. That was part of this group. Now you just need to add to that core. Now, at the end of, in the post-game sessions, at the end of that Memphis game, when they lost to the Grizzlies, Steph and Draymond, both in their own ways, said in no uncertain terms that they will be part of the offseason going forward, especially this offseason. Steph said that they need to make, he said very flatly, they need to make some moves, they need to retool, and they need to come back next year. Draymond Green was a little bit more direct, saying he will absolutely be part of the conversations with the front office. So you can only imagine, if Draymond Green is going to be part of those front office conversations, well, then certainly Steph will be part of those front office conversations too. So both of those guys are going to be part of those conversations. It would not surprise me if Klay Thompson were part of those offseason conversations if he wanted to be. He might be more concerned with his rehab, and it doesn't really strike me as something Klay would want to do in the first place, but he could be. They'll seek his input. If they're getting it from Steph and Draymond, Steph and Draymond will certainly see Klay's input. Klay had a front row seat, by the way. I know he didn't play, but he had a front row seat for this entire season. He knows what this team needs. He's a smart guy. He gets basketball. He knows what this team needs. They all do. They all do. And I would imagine, by the way, that that was not posturing by them. I know this. This was not posturing by them to try to get involved in those conversations. I've seen that theory floated out there a little bit. No, no, no. They know they're going to be part of those conversations. The front office will include them. This has always been a collaborative effort. Draymond Green, by the way, this would not be the first time Draymond was involved. He very often will seek out conversations with Bob Myers and Joe Lacob. He's been part of draft room conversations. He was part of the draft room conversation last year. I don't know how much they listened to him. I don't know that James Wiseman was Draymond Green's guy. I don't not know that either. I'm not saying that James Wiseman wasn't Draymond's guy. But I just know that Draymond wants to be included in these things. And he should be. Your star players absolutely should be. Just like they're involved in coaching decisions during the huddles, timeouts and breaks during the game. They ought to be and are often involved in the offseason plans and the offseason conversations with the front office. They have been, they will be. I think Steph in particular will be more than he ever has been in the past. I don't think he was as involved as he could have been over the last few years. He will be now. Because he has the most confidence in the world in himself, sure, but he just saw himself do that. He just experienced the fact that, hey, you could triple team me every single night and I'm still going to hang 32 on you. Still going to do it. Give me a little bit of help, you can't triple team me anymore. He knows the help that he needs. He knows what works and what doesn't. He just did it. So he's going to be part of those conversations. Draymond will be part of those conversations. We're going to talk more about those big questions that they need to ask, that the front office needs to ask and answer this offseason. But first, let's talk about headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has 3-minute SOS meditations for you. Do you need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions that their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you could do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I've been using Headspace for years now. Their 10-minute meditations in the morning really helped me learn to meditate. They have a class that you could take, sessions that you take every single day to help you meditate. Maybe you're one of these people who, you know what, my brain is too busy. I can't meditate. It's just not for me. Just try this. First of all, it's free to go through that first session, and we're about to give you a promo code to make it even easier and cheaper for you to make it a long-term habit. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. Support for today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Your candy bar is a protein bar. Your protein bar is a candy bar. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women. Whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat, Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're great if you're on a keto or another low-carb diet, and they have 9 different flavors available now. and they're always creating and releasing new, exciting flavors. Built Bar has been with us for a long time, and I've been eating Built Bars for a long time, usually in the late afternoon between lunch and dinner, and it's a good way to give me the boost that I need to finish up work. And it's a great way for a post-workout, by the way. I mean, all these things have 15 to 20 grams of protein. They're low calorie, usually 150 calories or less. Those macros are awesome. And like I said, Built Bar has been friends of the show for almost a year now, and we appreciate the partnership that we've built with them. So support the show by supporting those who support us. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So the Warriors have a slim chance of ending up with two top four picks in the draft, and I'll get to that in a moment, but let's start with the Warriors core. So here's what we know. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney. That's your starting five. What we saw this last year from Juan Toscano-Anderson and Jordan Poole, those guys proved that they could be core every night rotation guys for you. Juan Toscano-Anderson in a six-man role, kind of reprising the Andre Iguodala thing. He can walk in, help you unlock small ball lineups, move Draymond Green to the five. Now, over the last 20 games, when they basically only had eight guys available for most of those games, they probably leaned a little too much on Juan Toscano-Anderson, I think. Where once Kevon Looney came out of the game, you were playing small. Now, if you think back to the old Warriors, the Dynasty Warriors, those death lineup type Warriors, once their starting center went out, they had other centers rotate in. And they would cycle through, you know, two or three big men a night, two or three centers a night. And then at the end of each half, they would go small with Draymond at the five. Now, we saw this team break down. That's why they dropped their two play-in games against the Lakers and the Grizzlies. That's why they were fatigued, physically exhausted, and you can't even blame them because of the way that they were playing, the fact that they were punching up nearly every night, and it was the same eight guys doing it. No wonder they were fatigued. No wonder they broke down at the end. The fact that they pushed Memphis to overtime and came back from 13 points down, that was remarkable to me. Juan Toscano-Anderson will be part of the core. He deserves to be part of the core. But I think you need to supplement that group with some other centers and stuff like that and not go straight away midway through the first quarter, basically, once Kevon Looney comes out, to Juan Toscano-Anderson and Draymond Green front courts. Just because you want to be able to, you don't want them to be exhausted after the first month of the season. So that said, and then you have Jordan Poole coming off the bench. I don't think he's quite sixth man, right? I like his playmaking. I think there's more that he can learn on that end and figure out on that end. He will. Takes a little bit of time, but he's got an innate feel for it that I've always talked about since his rookie year. The scoring is obviously important, but he can't be the only volume scorer coming off the bench for you, right? Like, that's what was so interesting about the Kelly Oubre-Jordan Poole combo off the bench for those five games that we saw. It was that you have two guys who can get hot on any given night. But then Oubre went back down when he re-aggravated the wrist thing, and then it was just Jordan Poole over the last 15 games. And there were some nights where he did it, and there were some nights where he didn't. Most nights, he gave you something. Some nights, he didn't. But that's too much to ask of just Jordan Poole. And I see him very much like a Leandro Barbosa. I don't think he's Sean Livingston. I don't think he's Andre Iguodala. I don't think he's being one of your... I don't think he's sixth or seventh in the rotation. But I think he could be eighth. Right? And there are some nights, by the way, where he's going to be your best scorer outside of Steph. And on those nights, you play him more. And maybe you close with him. But you just can't rely on him so much. And the same thing that we're talking about with Juan. You can't rely on Jordan Poole every single night the way that you did. The Warriors had to. And they did. And I think that you can come away with impressed with what Jordan and Juan did, but the offseason should be about helping those guys as much as it is helping Steph and Clay and Draymond and you know, the other guys in this group. The other big question is James Wiseman, obviously. Now, I don't think that Wiseman should start next year. I think that what Kevon Looney did this year, he has earned that starting job, and moving him back to the bench would not only be a slight to Kevon Looney, but it would be a slight to the rest of his teammates. A slight to Steph, to Draymond, to Wiggins. When Kevon Looney was in the game, the Warriors were outscoring teams by 10 points per 100 possessions. When James Wiseman was in the game instead of Kevon Looney, even in the starting lineup, they were getting outscored. They were being outscored by more than 14 points per 100 possessions. That's a 24-point swing. okay? The Warriors are 24 points better per 100 possessions when Kevon Looney is in the game other than James Wiseman. Start Kevon Looney. That starting lineup, add Klay to that starting lineup, but that starting lineup with Kent Bazemore and Klay Thompson's spot was one of the most consistent and better starting lineups over the second half of the year. That starting lineup with James Wiseman in there and Kelly Oubre at shooting guard was one of the worst starting lineups, if not the worst starting lineup in the NBA, even with Steph and Draymond a part of it. So bring James Wiseman off the bench. And that's one of the other offseason questions that this group has to ask itself, by the way, and answer. What do you do with James Wiseman? If he's still on this team next year, we'll get to that in a moment, but if he's still on this team next year, bring him off the bench. Let him grow organically. Let him develop organically. Don't rush him. He obviously was not ready to start opening night, and they started him. I think the Warriors learned how difficult it is to develop a 19 to 20-year-old this year. I think they took it for granted. I think they maybe underestimated how difficult it would be. And that's okay, right? They're not used to trying to do that with a rookie, right? But let's even think back to Jordan Poole as the 28th pick in the draft last year. No expectations, even as a late first-round pick. No expectations last year. He was awful as a rookie. What did he do in his second year? Blossomed into a rotation guy. James Wiseman had his moments, but for the most part, that was a rough rookie year. And that's okay. 69 minutes in college over three games. No summer league. No training camp. Yeah, that makes sense why he struggled. Okay? A lot of expectations is the number two pick overall. Get rid of those expectations. Bring him off the bench. Let him play 12 to 15 minutes a night. That's okay. You can still develop that way. He needs to develop his body and all these other things, and I still think that when he's at his best, the Warriors' best players right now will be out of their primes. Maybe that's the plan if you're the Warriors. But he's not going to be able to help you win right now if he's starting. He can help you win right now, I think, if he's coming off the bench and he's just your second or third big. I think he can help you in some ways that way, especially by the time the playoffs arrive next year. But you can't rush him, and I think the Warriors learned that this year. Now, the other thing they can try to do with Wiseman is trade him. Now, he'll be under contract for a little bit more than $8 million next year. That's a tradable contract, and Wiseman is a tradable player. If you did a redraft of this last draft, I know as rough as Wiseman's rookie year was, I don't think there's three players you take over Wiseman, given the long-term upsides of these guys, the ceilings of these guys. I think LaMelo and Anthony Edwards go in front of him, in whatever order. And then Wiseman probably goes third. I still think you take Wiseman in a redraft over Tyrese Haliburton. And I love Tyrese Haliburton. I think Haliburton would be a better fit for this team than Wiseman is. But if you're just generic NBA team and you're doing a redraft of this draft, I still think you take Wiseman third. He has value, okay? There's still a ton of long-term upside and ceiling with him. If the Warriors want to trade him, I don't know what you can get back, but there'll be takers. But the big question is, what can you get back? And is it worth punting on his long-term upside for that kind of immediate contributor? I think there are immediate contributors that would be worth punting on that long-term upside. But I don't know that the Warriors can get that level of player. It's something that they should explore this offseason. But if that trade does not materialize, bring him back, bring him off the bench, let him play 12 to 15 minutes a night, let him play with Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano-Anderson in that second unit, let him run and gun, run up the floor, develop pick-and-roll chemistry with Poole, be a volume scorer so that Jordan Poole doesn't have to do everything off the bench. He can contribute in that way. Then there's four non-guaranteed contracts that the Warriors have to deal with. Alan Smailagic, Damian Lee, Michael Mulder, Gary Payton. Smailagic is gone. Gary Payton, his guarantee date is not until very late in next year, so I think he'll get a training camp invite and have an opportunity to earn a job. And I actually think Michael Mulder, where I thought he was out of the rotation before, he may have over... Look, he was on and off. The shooting would come and go with him. I think he'll at least come back for training camp and have an opportunity to keep his roster spot next year. And I think Damian Lee should come back next year. We didn't get to see much of him, but he's one of these guys who just stays ready all the time. Good locker room presence. Obviously, the relationship with Steph doesn't help. It doesn't hurt. But I think those are the kind of guys that you want. He's not going to be every night rotation next year, probably. But if he's your 13th or 14th guy, he's one of these guys that can, he's a gamer, right? He checks into a game, he's ready to play, he knows what to do. Those are the kinds of guys that you want at the end of your bench. Guys that you don't, they don't need warming up. You trust them to stay ready, right? And to, you know, not cause a stir in the locker room when they're not playing. That's Damian Lee. I think that's a good player. Eric Paschal's under contract for next year. We'll see if he ends up carving out a part of the rotation, but he's cheap. He's a skill guy, you know, where he, you know what it is that he does well. He can, you know, force his way to the rim, play in isolation here and there. There might be nights where they need that, right? And like I said, he's cheap. He's under contract. There's things that he needs to iron out defensively, but no harm in giving him one more year to try to develop that part of his game. And then there's free agents, Kent Bazemore, Nico Mannion, Jordan Bell. Bell, Mannion, I think both of those guys are probably gone. I don't think that it's worth bringing Mannion back on a two-way deal after what we saw in his rookie year. I'm not saying that that can't happen. I still think the Warriors like some of the stuff that he does, but he just didn't show that he can contribute anything meaningful on an NBA floor. And there might be some opportunities to use those two-way contracts in other ways. Kent Bazemore, I think you bring him back. If you can get him something close to the minimum, I think you have to bring him back. He was starting for you over the best stretch of your season. He's a guy that can come back and be one of your top 10 guys. I think if he's your 10th guy, that's really good. But the Warriors need to figure out who those other guys are going to be. Then there's Kelly Oubre, a much more complicated situation that we'll talk about next. But first, let's talk about Indeed. You're the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster, only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications, and schedule and complete interviews on your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Tests that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests and then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. All right, so Kelly Oubre will be a free agent. He missed 15 of the final 20 games of the season with a wrist injury. The Warriors went 12-5 without him this year, and he had one of the lowest plus-minuses on the team. So there's things that you like about Oubre, the volume scoring, the effort that he gives defensively and just overall every single night. That stuff has value over the course of an 82-game regular season, right? You want those guys with just that relentless, nonstop battery, energy, all that kind of stuff. Oubre has that. And, you know, this is a guy who hung 40 points against Dallas earlier in the year, right? Like, he can do that kind of thing for you. And I think there were times when he was out that they missed him and that scoring punch that he can bring. But overall, he wasn't a great fit in Golden State's system. And he's probably going to be expensive still this offseason. And so you do wonder what the price tag for Kelly Oubre would have to be in order for Golden State to bring him back. Now, if it was something like $10 million a year, that would add a lot of money, almost $100 million, according to Bobby Marks, ESPN's cap expert, almost $100 million to their luxury tax. That's a lot of money. But this is also a team that's already going to be paying the luxury tax, prepared to pay the luxury tax. It's just valued at $5.2 billion by Forbes recently. So maybe you could argue that they could afford it. But I don't know that you want to do that for a guy like Kelly Oubre. So this is where I'm at. The idea of a sign-and-trade for Oubre has been kicked around. Now, I don't know how many teams out there want to try to do a sign-and-trade for Oubre, right? Typically, when you see a sign-and-trade happen, it's for a player that's better than Kelly Oubre, right? It's the D'Angelo Russell types, guys like that. But I think that there's something to that if the Warriors add some sort of draft compensation. So yeah, whatever team acquires Kelly Oubre in the sign-and-trade, and there's going to be a lot of cap space out there this offseason, And Kelly Oubre is a 3-and-D skills guy. I think there's value there. And not really a 3-and-D because it's not a great three-point shooter, but you know what I mean. Like he can, he's a scorer, defensive, you know, long defensive wing, guys like that. If there is a team out there that is willing to hard cap themselves because they're not planning on paying the luxury tax anyway, that would be interested in acquiring Oubre in a sign and trade deal that could free up some other ways for them to improve their team in the offseason so they don't have to just use straight up cap space on Oubre, and they can get some sort of draft compensation in the process from the Warriors. Maybe it's a future second rounder, right? It doesn't have to be a lot, but if they could do something, I think that there is a path to a sign and trade. What that would do if you're the Warriors is it would create a trade exception for you, right? And at whatever cost it was. So maybe it's 10, maybe it's 15 million, maybe it's 18 million. I don't know, right? Whatever Oubre would have to, by the way, agree to go to whatever. Like, it's not just a trade. He would have to agree to sign to whatever team that he'd be going to. And then the Warriors would then facilitate that acquisition as a sign and trade. So what they could do with Oubre is like, hey, this team doesn't have $15 million in cap space to give you, but if you agree to a sign and trade, we can send you to that location if that's indeed where you want to play. So that would be how I think the Warriors would maneuver that particular situation. And then you would get the trade exception for whatever value that Oubre signs for with that other team. You would get that back in the form of a trade exception that you can either use right away or by the trade deadline. And if you use it by the trade deadline, by the way, that would be a cheaper roster hit, right? It would be cheaper than Oubre being there from day one. You know, it would be you would save some money if that's what you're trying to do if you're the Warriors, some luxury tax savings. But moreover, it would be a mechanism that if you're the Warriors, you can use to go get a player who's of a better fit than Kelly Oubre was. Because if Oubre walks away, you don't get to just go sign another player. The Warriors have no cap space. The only reason they'd be able to sign Oubre is because they have his bird rights. So it's not like if he walks away, you can just sign a player for $10 or $15 million. No, it doesn't work that way. The only way to replace Oubre is to do it through a sign and trade, or to sign him and then trade him midway through the year, if that sign and trade doesn't materialize. The other option, of course, is you just let him walk away. You just let him walk away and you try to fill out the roster with a mid-level exception, minimum contracts, these draft picks that you may have. That would be the other option. I think the Warriors would prefer the sign and trade route, but you have to involve two other parties if you're the Warriors. Another team that wants Kelly Oubre, and Kelly Oubre who would need to want to go play for that team. So it's not as easy as just saying, oh, just sign and trade him. It's not that easy. It's not like another trade. Oubre is an unrestricted free agent. If he doesn't want to agree, he could just go sign anywhere he wants that can sign him. He doesn't have to play ball. So that would be the thing. The Warriors would have to find a team that wants Kelly Oubre, that might not have the cap space or want to use the cap space in order to acquire Oubre, and that team would have to be somewhere that Oubre wants to play. So we'll see. I think that's something that the Warriors will try to do. Then there's the draft. I mentioned the draft picks. The Warriors have Minnesota's top three protected pick this year, and because they lost to Memphis and they lost in this play-in tournament, they have the 14th best odds in the lottery. So they're going to have potentially two lottery picks, potentially, slim chance, but possible, two top four picks in this draft. It's possible. Because Minnesota's pick, again, top three protected, there's, you know, a 25-26% chance that it ends up in the top three. But there's a 9.6, and goes to Minnesota, there's a 9.6% chance that it ends up at four, in which case the Warriors would get it. The Warriors' own pick has a little bit more than a 2% chance of ending up in the top four. Now, obviously, Minnesota and Golden State can't both have the fourth pick, but if that pick ends up in the top three for the Warriors, there's a slight chance, very, very small, 1.7% chance that it ends up in the top three. Very, very small. Don't count on it if you're a Warriors fan. Do not count on it if you're the Warriors. But there's a chance, very slim. That, to me, is interesting. The more likely scenario is that this Minnesota pick ends up at 7 or 8 and ends up coming to the Warriors, and that the Warriors' own pick has a 97.6% chance of landing at 14, so probably that's what's going to happen. So if you're the Warriors, you're going to have probably the 7th or 8th pick in this draft, and the 14th pick in this draft. There's a 29% chance that this Minnesota pick ends, or 30% chance that it ends up at 7, 21% chance it ends up at 8. Just about. Those are about the percentages. A 98% chance, basically, that it ends up at, that your own pick ends up at 14. So if you end up with the 7th, let's call it the 7th pick and the 14th pick, you can get two good players with that, right? There have been good players picked at 14. There have been good players picked at 7. I think if you look at a guy like Davion Mitchell from Baylor, or Franz Wagner, or Corey Kispert from Gonzaga, Franz Wagner from Michigan, Scotty Barnes from FSU, these are guys who are considered capable of making immediate contributions. No, they don't have the upside of your clear top five, the Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, Jonathan Kuminga types. But I also don't think that the Warriors should be drafting those kinds of guys because of what we just saw with the James Wiseman experience. Why would you do that? Instead, this is kind of a blessing in disguise where you could take somebody at 7 or 8 and even 14, and those guys, even though it's just a couple picks later, markedly fewer expectations, right? You're not expecting anything from those kinds of guys. If they can give you something, great. And some of these guys are a little bit more NBA ready. Not the upside that those top five guys have, but more ready to contribute right now. That's what the Warriors need. If you keep Wiseman, you have your long-term play. And by the way, these guys could be long-term great players in the long term. You know, Steph Curry wasn't picked in the top five. Draymond Green wasn't picked in the top five. Klay Thompson wasn't picked in the top five. You can find guys here, right? That's what I think the Warriors should do if they keep the picks. They also have an opportunity to trade these picks. Now, you're going to have to pair some salary with them. Maybe it's something in a sign-and-trade with Oubre, right? Where you could get, where you sign Oubre to whatever salary is needed and pair that with one of these picks. And then you can go get a player who's a better fit, you know, who's better than Oubre. That's also the other option. So Oubre and this draft pick could be linked. They could not be. I still don't see a world where the Warriors should bring in two rookies to add to James Wiseman, who will basically be a rookie next year still. I don't think that, based on what we just saw, the Warriors have much use for more young players. I do think with these picks, maybe you want to use one of them, certainly not both. And maybe even you use both to get the guys who would be better fits. To go get veterans who can play for you in a playoff situation right now and help Steph and Draymond and Klay get to where it is that they want to go, which is back to the top of the Western Conference. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. They have two picks now in the lottery. They have tools. It's going to take a lot of creativity, I think, by Bob Myers in this front office. This is the toughest offseason for them. Right? It's the most pivotal offseason for Bob Myers. I said that last year. Now this one is. This is the most important offseason of Bob Myers' tenure. They have to nail it. If they do, the Warriors can get right back. The Warriors can get back to the finals next year, I believe. But they have to nail this offseason. It won't be enough just for Steph and Draymond and getting Klay back. That's not enough. You have to nail this offseason. There's ways to do it. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a lot of creativity. It's going to take some luck, probably. But they have to nail this offseason. If they do, they'll be contenders in the West again. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WCGoldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Now get all of the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening.